I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore collapsed after being struck by a 900-foot-long cargo ship around 1:30 a.m. this morning.
Be advised, the entire bridge, the entire Key Bridge in the harbor. I advise to hold all traffic from coming to the bridge.
The fire department described the collapse as a mass casualty incident.
There's cops everywhere, and there's police all up and down the bridge.
While it's not known exactly how many people or vehicles were on the bridge, initial emergency calls mentioned several construction workers who were working on the bridge.
Eight construction workers were on the bridge, according to the construction worker. We have one. There's seven unaccounted for. He said there was a dump truck, a pickup truck, a large truck, and a Nissan car that he knew of that was on the bridge at the time of collapse.
This continues to be a search and rescue operation. It continues to be a very dynamic operation with multiple local, state, and federal resources involved.
But at this point, it is obviously a recover operation. The amount of time that anyone who went into that water had was an hour or less due to the frigid conditions. That's assuming they weren't hurt and trapped. This tragedy, of course, wakening the nation earlier today and that report from earlier today. So a lot of things have been changing. We're going to bring you up to speed, but two things to keep in mind. First, by grace, it was not during morning rush hour because the amount of traffic on this bridge, which is a major event for that area, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, it could have been a massive disaster. This is a 1.6-mile-long, four-lane bridge. So, again, by the timing, we averted a major disaster. Unfortunately, we are going to have some lives lost. Two were rescued almost immediately. Others still being sought for to retrieve. And the other key point, when it first happened, a lot of folks might have thought, is this a terrorist act? Is it a terrorist act? Everything so far indicates it was an accident. The ship apparently was losing power off and on, and when you've got a ship of the size of that vessel, you can't stop on a dime, and you've already got forward momentum. And then they were trying, apparently, to get everything restarted. And there was a belch of smoke from the engines right before it hit the bridge, as if maybe they had gotten restarted, but too late to avert what happened. I want to break it down in more detail for you because it's also a warning that we have numerous situations like this all over the nation. And again, I'm stressing that this was an accident. But unfortunately, with the number of terrorists that we suspect are in the country, they don't need to have accidents happen to shake our nation. So imagine if this were, in fact, immediately labeled or suspected to be a terrorist action. Imagine those ripple effects. And our hearts and prayers go out to those who were involved and their families. Thank you for joining us. This is Larry Connors USA. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video at News Talk, STL, Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. And reminding you, when we wrap up the programs, everything goes to a podcast, audio or video. So if you missed anything, you can go back and pull it up. We encourage you to do it. Share it with others. So once again, back to this event of the bridge. Since the event today, the president had said immediately, and I know he likes to spend a lot of money, but this would need federal dollars anyway. But he's saying that he wants the federal government to bear the full cost of rebuilding the bridge. And he said from the White House, it is my intention that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. I expect the Congress to support my effort, and that is going to take some time. And he again pointed out that this was not an intentional act. He said everything shows that it was simply an accident. He also took note to put himself on the scene, which sometimes we mock a little bit. I'm not going to this time, but he said, I've been over that Francis Scott Key Bridge many, many times during commutes between D.C. and Delaware. That's how major this route is. The bridge extends over the river and serves as the outermost crossing of the Baltimore Harbor. It is an essential link of Interstate 695, or the Baltimore Beltway, who are familiar with it. But again, it is overall a 1.6-mile-long four-lane bridge, and they know of at least eight who were on board when that cargo ship hit. What we're going to see, according to one Baltimore resident, this is going to affect us a great deal. He lives only a block from the southern entrance of the bridge. He works in construction. He said that construction collapse will affect my everyday life. It affects a lot of us. He said, we got to get to work on the other side. Now, the routes, we're talking about a 45-minute difference. The Minnesota governor has also made some statements saying what basically many of us are feeling, heart-wrenching. Minnesota Governor Waltz offering Maryland resources in the wake of Francis Scott Key Bridge, calling it heart-wrenching, saying, we pray for the people of Maryland. Now, you recall in Minneapolis, I'm sure many of you immediately jumped back in that and weren't sure the date, the time, where. Well, it was 2007 when we had Interstate 35 West Bridge over the Mississippi near downtown Minneapolis collapse, taking down more than 100 vehicles with it. 13 were killed in that incident, 145 injured. And because of the timing of that collapse, that bridge was loaded with rush hour traffic. And they also had a lot of heavy construction equipment on board the bridge, and the inquiry and everything was looking at the weight. Was it overloaded? Did they end up putting too much weight on the bridge? In this case, again, it is simply an accident, and there's not going to be any other discussion other than finding out what happened with the ship. I'm looking at some of the other things that have been coming through in the process, and obviously, a lot of this will still change over the next few days. But I know if you were waking up this morning and began to hear about a major bridge collapse in Baltimore, you weren't really sure what was involved. Well, now, of course, we're getting a much better idea. And, of course, the city was able to stop cars driving onto the bridge while it was already collapsed, not knowing. In the early morning hours, they were simply going to go ahead. They weren't paying any attention to where they were trying to go. And then suddenly, thank goodness, people began to realize you cannot cross that bridge. And then police seemed to move in. But there's also been, again, from police and local FBI, emphasizing this is not a terrorist act. And why would we need to emphasize that over and over again? Because of the illegals that are in this country. At Biden's request, an open-door policy, this is the kind of thing that immediately sparked that concern. One bridge engineer said the bridge did suffer catastrophic failures. But again, he said it's the amount of energy that in a moving container ship weighing over 110,000 tons that hit part of the stabilizer and one of the foundations. The ship itself was apparently not under command. By that, they mean the captain had no control of the vessel. That would be the loss of power they're talking about. And in this case, the inertia took over. And when the engines failed and he had no propulsion to move the ship one way or the other, even to the side a bit to lessen the collision. It just couldn't do it. So the enormous force of a 110,000-ton ship striking the foundation, it had to be catastrophic and jarring. They're still looking at what were the issues with the ship. It's going to take a while to determine that, just like we have whenever a plane is involved in a tragedy. Immediately move in, start asking questions. But it will be days before we have all the answers. And before then, there will be funerals. On another topic, there's a new Bloomberg poll out. Now, you can read this survey and the poll in various ways as to what it means for the presidential elections coming up. But while still far from the November voting date, and I stress to you again, polls don't mean a lot until that poll, the voting day poll, it would still be wise to keep this Bloomberg survey in mind.
Joe Biden has closed the gap somewhat with Donald Trump, offering glimmers of a potential rebound for the president in this year's election campaign. A new Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll shows Trump leading Biden 47-43 across seven crucial battleground states. But importantly, Trump is no longer leading in all seven of those states. Biden has pulled ahead in Wisconsin by one percentage point and into a tie in two other states, Michigan and Pennsylvania. Trump, meanwhile, continues to lead in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina, but Biden narrowed the gap in five of the seven states. This poll has good news for both presumptive nominees. For Trump, the poll shows Biden continues to poll poorly on questions like, who do you trust most to manage the economy? And of course, Trump continues to lead overall and has now for 6 months in a row. But for Biden, this poll shows momentum in a good trajectory. It also ekes out a potential path for him to get a narrower victory than he had in 2020. Three states that he's tied or a little bit ahead in are so-called blue wall states. These are states that have historically leaned Democratic, and Biden can win the White House with just those three of the seven if other things go his way.
If everything goes his way. Now, I've tried to caution you repeatedly, even though it was very apparent from the beginning, Trump was going to be carrying the banner for the GOP, and Biden may or may not end up carrying the Democrat banner. But do not sit back and think, well, I don't need to go to the polls because Trump's going to win anyway. If you're a Trump supporter, you shouldn't do that. If you're basically a conservative and you think the country's in the wrong direction, even if you're a Democrat, don't sit home. If you want to change in the presidential office, you've got to go vote. And not only for that, but keep in mind the House and the Senate, how critical they are. The House has been a wreck lately, and that's probably part of the issue that is being faced by Republicans and the surveys, those being questioned. I'm looking at a piece written by The Hill, and it said the tables have turned for House conservatives. And they point out 6 months ago, emboldened by a new GOP majority, never was a big majority, but still had a majority, armed with new rules designed to rein in government spending, the Republican deficit hawks stormed into the 2024 appropriations debate, hoping to secure steep cuts, threatening to take on anyone who stood in their way. And then what happened? Well, they didn't get shot out of the sky, but at the same time, a lot of things began to come unglued. One of them, of course, Speaker Kevin McCarthy cut one too many spending deals with Biden, and Matt Gaetz of Florida moved forward to have a vote of no confidence in him and get him replaced, and they did. And now, with Mike Johnson, the current leader, replacing McCarthy, apparently working a deal to keep the government from shutting down, you got Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's not the only one, but she's the first to step forward and say, maybe we need another speaker. We cannot continue to do this. This is not a merry-go-round. Get on, get off, get on, get off. I don't really want to have a slide either where all you're going to do is start the top and go all the way to the bottom, landing on your butt. Yet that's going to happen the way we're doing this at this point. Last week, Congress wrapped up the 2024 spending battle with that massive $1.2 trillion government spending package. And Johnson's only been on board now for 5 months. But conservatives, despite, as again pointed out by the Hill report, all the dramatic flourishes and public outrage, conservatives failed to change the trajectory of the spending debate. Delaying it a few months, splitting the sprawling package into two pieces, after Johnson cut a deal with Biden and the Democrats, and has not suffered McCarthy's fate so far. You know my phrase, so far. That just means it's still waiting to drop the way things are. And as I pointed out, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia has already filed a motion to oust Johnson. But to the plus side, that shows her outrage and anger, but she has declined to force a vote on the resolution. That would be certainly viewed as a warning to Speaker of another fight next month, while we're still looking at the battle over Ukraine, which Green also opposes. But her name continues to surface because she is a lightning rod, and she's speaking out strongly and without hesitation. No filter, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And on one hand, I like that. Trump also often no filter. But you got to take a few words back and bite your tongue a couple of times. Trump won't do it. Marjorie Taylor Greene's not going to. But the bottom line is, as you heard from that poll from Bloomberg, and still we're months away from the actual election, this is the kind of stuff that can come back and haunt you and begin to rip your party apart. We now have, if I'm counting right, a one-vote margin in the House of Representatives. That is not near enough. That is not near enough to make sure we can hold control, because you're going to need defections. And again, the storyline for many, and the left is going to eat it up. What are you going to do if you can't run your own house, literally the House of Congress? How are you going to run the country? And that's a good question. You may not like it, but you're going to have to eat it along with your spinach at the same time. U.S. Supreme Court signaling today it will likely retain widespread access to one of two common drugs used in medical abortion. Oral arguments have been underway today, and we're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour with Sarah Parshall Perry with the Heritage Foundation. You may or may not be aware of it, but the FDA safety rules have basically been dissolved, put away since 2016 and 2021 when it comes to abortion medication. We'll get into that in more details coming up, and especially if the high court now appears to be skeptical of a group of anti-abortion doctors suing because the agency has made it easier to get some of these drugs. And coming up next, preachy females, remember as James Carville was describing them, they're also reporting hurting supposedly Dems' chances, maybe. My next guest will weigh on that conversation. And do preachy females exist only in the Democrat Party? Is that a slur, slander, or praise? Maybe a badge of honor? We're going to break it all down for you. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be if the economy is stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times have I prayed?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So today we've had arguments, as I said, before the Supreme Court, which we will discuss in more detail in the second hour. But there's something else I've been running today, a commentary. I hope you get to hear it. My commentary is run at 7:30 around that time, and then 12:03 and 3:30 every day. If you miss them on the first two times, you can catch it again at 3:30. I'll tell you right now, in case you missed it, we were focusing on James Carville, Louisiana political strategist who got Bill Clinton into the White House, and saying, there's a problem right now with all the libs. We got too many preachy women in the Democrats. They want to say, you got to do this, do that. Can't drink beer, can't eat hamburgers, you got to eat your peas. Preachy females. Well, that is affecting the Democrat Party and ripping them apart. That's James Carville's view. Joining us now is my guest who has written a book titled The Language of Betterarchy, A Blueprint for Unifying Against Tyranny, Danny Katz. Glad to have you back on board.
Hi, Larry. Thanks again for having me.
So are you a preachy female? Let's begin there.
Probably.
Are you a Democrat supporting Biden and you're destroying the Democrat Party?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, okay.
But I have plenty of opinions.
I know, go ahead.
I have plenty of opinions and 2X chromosomes, so I'm sure to certain ears I am a preachy female.
And that is because you also wrote a piece called Pop Culture, and this language of betterarchy. When you hear James Carville denounce the libs, and they want to call themselves progressives. I call them regressives, and claim that there are too many women running the party and they're all preachy and they're whining and so forth. That's why things are falling apart for the Democrats and Joe Biden. Your views?
The whole political divide has gotten so out of hand with each of these alleged sides calling names, using ad hominems as a means of avoiding talking about the actual issues. So this is what I teach about in my new course, Pop Propaganda, which is an 11-module course aimed to educate teens and grownups as to how propaganda functions, how to safeguard ourselves from media manipulation, social engineering. So I see it coming from both sides. That is classic doublespeak, that the left calls themselves progressive when they are in fact regressive. It's one of those instances of inverting the words to mean the exact opposite. I mean, this is the party that's calling for censorship, that's calling for segregation, that's calling to take our guns away. It is about as regressive as it gets, but they're relying on propaganda to spin their actions and convince a very, very, very confused segment of the populace that they are progressive when they're anything but.
Well, two things there. One, thanks for admitting that I might be right about saying things, saying they're regressive instead of progressive. But you...
Absolutely, you're spot on.
Thank you. I'm going to take that as a badge of honor for sure. But you also mentioned, if I recall right in just listening to you, that there seems to be an understanding that some don't get, that there are two genders, and when we continue to push and shove, and the disharmony has reached crescendo levels, and it's only going to increase, don't you agree?
I do agree, which concerns me. Of course, now, were most of the populace to pick up my new book, The Language of Betterarchy, we could definitely stave off the getting worse part. But it's so crazy that we have the party that relies on, you know, believe in science and turning scientism into an actual cult, at the same time attempting to convince us that there are 79 genders and that gender is an opinion. I think the whole social...
Well, wait. Are you saying there are only 65 genders? Am I missing?
There are two.
Okay.
There are only two. And it's fine if people want to believe differently, but I think we need to recognize that those people are delusional instead of propping those people up and creating a protected class. I think what's going on right now is just a giant intelligence test that half of America is failing.
Well, the other thing you pointed out is that the pop culture piece of propaganda you wrote is for children and adults. How are you delineating between children and adults?
So this is a course that I created for teens.
Now, wait a minute. What's a child and what's an adult?
Because there are
a lot of adults that look childish to me, and some children seem to be better adults.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I created this course for human beings 14 and up because, from my perspective, I feel like that's the appropriate age to start learning that the power structures in this country and on this planet don't actually have our best interests in mind. And I totally agree with you. You know, many of the people who are calling themselves adults are behaving like children, and it's disconcerting. And I think, you know, I always say we live in a one-room schoolhouse on this planet, so that's fine if that's the developmental level at which some people are operating, but those people should not be in positions of elected office. Those people should not be driving our Earthship. You know, like, take a nice job, you know, at a cafe or something until we've developed the emotional intelligence and the capacity to understand what our world really truly is.
Well, at this point, though, we seem to be on so many different sides, not just two sides, but multiple sides.
Yeah.
How do you bring anything together?
Well, I think the key, and this is why I wrote the book, The Language of Betterarchy, is understanding that just because we have different preferences, belief structures, voting habits, it doesn't take away our fundamental shared humanity. And the social engineers and the propagandists and the mass media have gone the distance to attempt to convince us otherwise, which is utterly ridiculous. So I think it's really incumbent upon us as individual humans to continue to respect one another's humanity and to treat one another with respect and dignity, even though we might have different ideas and political allegiances. You know, we cannot buy into that notion that just because someone thinks Biden is the bee's knees and loves war with Ukraine, that they're not worthy of our respect. If we can maintain that fundamental level of respect, then we have a chance at actually having conversations with one another wherein we can be heard and we can correct some of these misunderstandings that some of us are still carrying.
And how much of that goes back to our schools and the existence of our schools, the way they're being, quote, either educated or indoctrinated right now?
Oh, completely. I mean, they're absolutely indoctrination camps. And there's no getting around how damaging that Common Core curriculum is, which is initially why I did create this pop propaganda class for homeschoolers. And I would recommend that parents either get their kids out of the schools or make enough of a ruckus with the school board that they change the textbooks and they change the curriculum, because our children are being indoctrinated into a really heightened, demoralized perspective. And it's very damaging for our country. So yes, it does start with the children, and we would be really wise to safeguard our children as early as possible.
Well, again, as we look over the nation and the things we're seeing right now, I mean, there's so many things that many even adults have a hard time relating to. So I can imagine today a child and then those following them. I'm talking to a young parent the other day, and he's saying, I'm doing my best to raise my kids. I won't let them get into certain things and so forth. But at the same time, there's so many things pulling them. And there are a lot more now than there were 30 years ago. And who knows where we'll be 30 years forward.
It's true. And I, you know, the obvious elephant in the room are the screens, right? And how off the chart. Because when we were kids, you know, sure, there was television, but there were only a few channels. Parents hadn't completely abdicated supervision of us to these screens. So right now, the propagandists are getting unfettered access to our children 24/7 through these screens. And, you know, there's only so much the parents can do in terms of safeguarding their children because, you know, they have to be vigilant 24/7, which is why teaching the children how propaganda functions is a great way to safeguard our children because we can't be on them 24/7.
But, you know, you're being accused of pushing propaganda, your propaganda.
They say that. I rely on my master's degree in journalism and my 30 years of experience on the ground as a journalist. And if anyone wants to take me to task for teaching propaganda, they can go through my curriculum point by point by point and see how very wrong they are.
Well, since you mentioned your master's degree in journalism, I don't have a master's degree, so you got me beat there. But I've got about maybe not quite twice as many years as you do reference the life on earth, much less journalism. But now this program is more of a commentary show, obviously. Danny, before we let you go, some final thoughts on how you see the election playing out with the opposing sides we have now.
Well, I mean, I think the election is going to be silly because we know how badly they stole it last year. And I know that that's considered an act of domestic terrorism.
I'm going to have to cut you off. I'm going to have to cut you off at that. Go ahead.
I understand. but we've done nothing to get rid of this Dominion machine tyranny that we're under. So I don't know why anyone expects this to go any differently at this stage of the game.
I think many will agree with you. And thank you, Danny Katz, another preachy female. Also, also the author of The Language of Betterarchy, A Blueprint for Unifying Against Tyranny. Thank you again, Danny. We'll do it again in the future. Coming
Thanks,
up,
Larry.
You bet. You bet. Coming up, Louisiana Senator Kennedy encounters an Olympian ski champion or something. One of them takes a nasty, nasty fall. You don't want to miss it. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man. that she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I see the very moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
Or? It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay.
Okay. That is Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana teaching an expert brought forward by the Democrat Party in a climate change hearing. This guy, here's how much of an expert he is. And he's probably very good at this, obviously, because he's an Olympian from Anchorage. Cross-country skier Gus Schumacher, or Schumacher, let me make it Schumacher. I'm sure it's Gus Schumacher. And he was propped up by the Democrats at a climate hearing as an expert. Why? Because he skis on snow? And if all the snow melts, he won't have a place to ski, at least on snow? Maybe he can become a water skier, a rollerblader. But no, they put him up as a prime witness to help us understand climate change. The same as he did with Greta Thunberg. Remember her? She's still around. She's older, but she was a young teen and basically proclaiming to the UN and others that we're all going to die because you people will not do your job. You adults, we're the children. You're the adults. You should be making things happen. And they were basically saying, listen to this child. This child knows everything. She was sent to us from the climate change gods, and she can tell you what you've got to do to save our planet. Now, Gus Schumacher might have thought, okay, I'm done with my run. I could not answer the question about carbon dioxide, and I'm not knocking him for that. You understand, they put him in an impossible situation. But the issue we need to be aware of, you need to be aware of, we know already, it's the other side that doesn't get it yet. If you're going to try to preach to us, you better know what you're preaching, and you better be able to back it up. So once again, Senator Kennedy continues, not so much interrogating, but kind of a pop quiz, are you ready? And you should have known it was coming.
If we spent those trillions of dollars and became carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States, which you advocate, how much will it reduce world temperatures?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't know?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money and then see what happens?
I think, as an athlete, I think if we spend that money and invest in our future, hopefully those temperatures stop rising.
You think we ought to abolish the police, do you?
Again, not the topic I'm here to talk about today.
I know, but you tweeted it. Do you think we ought to abolish the police?
That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Should we do that before or after we get rid of fossil fuels?
I'm not going to address that.
Who intentionally created the war on drugs to put black people in jail? Who were you talking about?
I don't remember typing that.
You don't?
No.
But he did. Quentin reminded me that he's 23. Now, how much did you know about the world and the climate at age 23? Probably not much. I had to admit I didn't. The thing I did know, that smoking was bad for you, and because it's all on the cigarette packs and so forth. But beyond that, and I knew the industrial age with all the boiling pipes, I should say steaming pipes of smoke and everything else, particles falling. I was certainly aware of that from the industrial age beginning. And I was also aware, being from West Texas around refineries, if you live on one of those areas where a refinery is located, you can almost constantly not just smell but taste it. You almost had an oily taste in your mouth. That's how much chemicals are being spewed from these refineries in. So we obviously need to clean some things up. And he may have looked at this when they I'm sure, asked him, or maybe he asked. I don't know exactly the direction as to which way they came in, but to have him set up there as an expert, sit up there as an expert on climate change at 23 years of age. Well, he is older than Greta. You got to give him that. But apparently he had also written in the past about getting rid of police. Well, there you go. There's another blue issue right there. Well, if he'd only said something about open for more illegals in, but he probably doesn't want them crowding the ski slopes, so maybe they didn't get into that. Once again, let's go back to Senator Kennedy and this so-called expert witness on climate change.
Mr. Schumacher, I understand, is a superb skier, Sean, and I'm sure he's a fine young man. But the fact remains that my Democratic colleagues invited Mr. Schumacher to testify before the Budget Committee of the United States Senate as an expert on climate change to advise us on climate change legislation. And Mr. Schumacher could neither defend nor substantiate his rhetoric. I suppose his testimony is an example of the Kardashianing of America. I don't mean to be cruel, but Mr. Schumacher's testimony reminded me so much of the gormless pop singers and movie stars who partied with Harvey Weinstein, who incessantly lecture the American people, and who also have to lie down if they think too hard. I'm sorry, Mr. Schumacher had a difficult day, but you shouldn't hold yourself out as an expert or have an opinion if you can't defend it.
Very good points there, and especially since Senator Kennedy said they wanted to put him up, and he probably looked at this as a great chance for me to get some reputation. It was going to be a bad fall. I mean, this is what they call when you're skiing and you go down and skis are one way, gloves and hats and goggles the other way. It's basically a clotheslining and or a ski sail, because everything is for free everywhere, scattering, sliding down the hill, as well as you. Oh, he slid down the hill pretty hard. And as you could hear, this was Senator Kennedy was talking about this with Sean Hannity. And then, of course, you have the whole issue of how much they want to spend, I say they, the progressive regressives, on climate change.
Well, I was reading a study this weekend, Sean, by a visiting professor at Stanford. And he says that the cost to make the world carbon neutral by 2050 and to sustain it until 2100 would be $27 trillion a year. That's about $2,000 trillion. That's not a plan. That's a fantasy. Because countries like China and Russia and Iran and sub-Saharan Africa, India, are going to expect the American people to pay for it. If we discovered life on Mars tomorrow, Joe Biden would send it money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that. Again, that's Senator Kennedy. And before we wrap up this hour, I'm going to give you another example where the left tries to lecture you and claim this is the science. And now they're having to back up and say, yeah, well, maybe not. But for the time they were pushing it in your face, it was science. But as I told you, is it real science or political science? But before we get to that, Jen Psaki of MSNBC upset that some might be lumping her in with Rona McDaniel, who had been with the RNC and now an analyst on NBC, and being chastised dramatically. So Psaki is upset. We're going to explain when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You may have seen some news over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Rona McDaniel as an NBC News contributor. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me. And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address. I got into public service for the same reason that many people do, to serve the American people. I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing. And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for. But here's the thing. That kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now at a time when our institutions are under attack and when our democracy is in danger. And our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Rona McDaniel have pushed on this country. This isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. This is about truth versus lies. Service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
And who is that one man that's dedicated to toppling our democracy? And how do you know he wants to topple our democracy? You know who she's talking about. Everything she was saying up to then is saying, see, I'm here as a real, honest person with integrity, and I am different than Rona McDaniel because she was peddling lies for the RNC. Jen Psaki, you were doing the same thing for the Democrats from the White House press room. Before you decide, I can take a really big leap with money and everything by moving over to one of the networks because I'm polished and smooth. And you know what? I'm going to give her those points because who came in to fill the void? KJP, a total, total mess. In the beginning, Psaki had her learning curve. Remember, she'd say she'd be asked a question. So, well, let me circle back on that for you. So she became known as Circle Back Psaki. And she never really gave full, solid answers either. She was better at obscuring and a little head fake. But those who really knew the facts knew that she was doing exactly that. She was doing what she was supposed to do as White House press secretary. Parrot whatever you're told to say. Defend the president at whatever cost. I understand that. Someone asked me one time, said, well, why don't you, have you ever thought about becoming a press secretary, White House press secretary? I said, I wouldn't last because I'm not going to go out there and spew lies when I believe and know differently. But now that she's with NBC, she said, I bring all this experience. I'll grant her that. And I can tell the difference between lies and truth. Do you know how you get better at boxing? Or any sport for that matter, you practice a lot. You get knocked down a lot, you get up and continue. Or you don't. And she knows now the difference between lies and truth, and yet she still knows how to spin them so it sounds like the truth. And she gave it all away in her closing lines because she knew the brass at NBC would love it. As she said, we are here to be honest and truthful. And if you're getting your information from one man who wants to topple our democracy, and there it is, that one line destroyed everything she was trying to build. I did not hear her call out any Republicans, conservative, and say, what they're saying is the truth. I don't like it, but they're saying the truth. I didn't hear her say that. You won't. Because now her job is, as it was protect the president, parrot the president, is parrot the leftist view and defend it. But here's an example. We were listening to the Schumacher skier Olympian from Washington under Senator Kennedy's grilling. You know why I played that? Not that it had any great value for news. I played it because, one, entertainment, engaging, and again, reemphasizing how stupid the left is and thinks we will buy into it. Let me give you another classic example where they've done a turnaround. Back in 2021, the FDA mounted a campaign against the use of ivermectin for COVID-19. Remember that? Stating it's only for animals. That was 2021. Last Thursday, March 21, there's been an agreement that the FDA, without admitting any wrongdoing, misconduct, or liability, must remove all previous social media and website posts indicating you should not use ivermectin. In fact, they put it under one post titled, Why You Should Not Use Ivermectin to Treat or Prevent COVID-19. They were all under that. They all got swiped out. And they're still coming down. And yet we have a battle in the Supreme Court today over FDA basically having free reign to decide selling abortion pills through the mail. We're going to get into that story for you. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.